Support for the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze comes from Big Y, world-class market serving New England families since 1936, with more than 30 locations throughout Connecticut. Big Y is proud to support WNPR. Faith here with a welcome toast. If you like to eat, drink, and be merry, you're in the right place. It was Joan Crawford who said, "Throw the lamb chops into the oven. What's to prevent them from getting done?" Please feel free to consume this show podcast in one bite, two bites, or oops, I ate the whole thing. Oh, you know we love this. It is great to have you joining the party on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, the place to have a good time. Oh, coming up, we have what wild dessert that you could construct out of Girl Scout cookies. It's that season. Our celebration continuing of spring foods. You're starting to see them in the markets. We have a lemon meringue cocktail. It is killer, with a little chocolate shaved on the top. We have garden tips for people who grow vegetables and glorious salmon so many ways, including brunch. My treasured food buddies are here. Mostly you're here listening, and we're so glad for that. Senior contributors Chris Prosperi and Mark Raymond, bartender Anthony DeSario, plus our special guest Diane Morgan, who knows all about salmon, has this great cookbook. Hey, everybody.
Hey there, Faith.
Anthony, I can hardly resist starting with your cocktail, which is a lemon meringue.
Yep.
And Mark, you've got this,
martini
glass.
It looks
right
like
here.
A lemon meringue pie.
It really does.
It's so good.
I'm going to sip it again.
You know, you don't even have to put alcohol in this thing. It's so good. So here's the deal. This is us getting you ready. We are 98 days. It's getting closer.
From roll, please.
The party.
From the party of the year in our region. Our Food Schmooze Martini competition. The people at the event vote, and that's who picks the martini. Martini champion. Plus, we have a small percentage from our bartender, Anthony DeSario, who tries all these things all over the place. We're trying to break 1,000 attendees this year.
Oh, it's going to happen.
It's going to be at.
It's definitely happening.
Yeah. It's going to be at the Pequot Museum.
Yeah, new location.
On the reservation at the casino. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous space. People who want hotels, the place is loaded with them. So start talking to your friends about this. We want to give you time. It's a fundraiser for us, so we're talking it up. But honestly, you want to meet people? Dancing is unbelievable.
It's an awesome start to the summer.
Yeah, it really is.
June 23rd. I've never had so much fun.
Absolutely blessed.
And we've come close to 1,000, right? We've been over 800.
We came so close. So we're trying. This is our goal, to break 1,000. Tell your friends. Maybe you want to chip in for limos. We don't know. Yep. You know, whatever, designated driver discount. We want everybody to drive responsibly for this, as always. There's tons of food. We want to keep
tons
you safe.
Of fun.
And
absolutely.
It is crazy, crazy fun.
Some
and we're going to be
interesting martinis I've ever tasted in my life.
And all by great groups and restaurants and bartenders and just quality people that are, you know, just they're out there to have a good time, and they're there. You know, that's our job.
It gets
bartenders.
Competitive, right?
It gets,
you even now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm starting to hear bartenders
on the opposite
talk.
Side. You know, we're already talking as bartenders. You know, well, we're going to get you this year, and we've got something secret pulled up our sleeves, and we're ready to go. But when the guests go to each table, you know, you still have that bartender exchange where they're just so happy to make you happy.
And that's
what we do, is make you happier than when you came in. And boy, does everybody leave this event happy.
So
98 days.
98 days.
Drum roll, please.
You know, that seems like a crazy number, but it's three months.
It's right around the corner.
So you've got to start making your plans for June 23rd. And we know that the new thing with the Food Schmooze is that companies are buying tickets. We're thrilled by this as
an
idea.
That's so cool.
They buy tickets to reward employees employees for a job well done on whatever project. And so we're excited about
great
that.
Great gift for a great night out. I mean, it's
absolutely
never had a bad time, whether I was on one side of the table or now getting to judge. So I can't say enough.
Well, thank you, Anthony. And Anthony's a member of the
United States Bartenders Guild.
And the Connecticut chapter is a former president of that. And so he's in with the bartenders and hears the talk going on about the competitors. And so very shortly we'll be giving you all the email information about how to register if you're a bartender, a restaurant. This is such a big crowd that it is great publicity. Anyway, I can't resist talking about this. Oh, Mark shows up in an incredible hat.
He's always got a hat.
He's smoking. And so, all right. So what do we got? Anthony, get us in the mood for the June 23rd martini competition. Can you tell us about your lemon?
You said do something with lemon, and I immediately thought lemon meringue pie.
Because it's spring.
Because it's spring. You know, it's that time of year again. You know, it's bright outside. The sun's shining. What better lemon is there than that? And I just originally was thinking traditional whiskey sour, which is just whiskey and fresh lemon and simple syrup, which is, you know, the one-to-one sugar and water. And the original version had an egg white in it. So I wanted to play with lemon meringue pie. So I took the whiskey out and we're going to use vodka today. So I would suggest using your favorite vanilla vodka at home. A lemon sour, which is a really great recipe that we have online, something you can keep in your refrigerator and use for a million things.
So that's sugar and water.
Just sugar, water, and lemon juice, and it'll last forever. So vanilla vodka, we have our lemon sour, and an egg white.
It doesn't get easier than that.
First, we're going to put the vodka in.
Okay.
Then we're going to add our lemon juice.
You can get a lot of vanilla vodkas out there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And there's a lot of great flavors
fresh,
out there.
It's got to be fresh lemon juice.
Everything's got to be fresh.
Okay, go ahead.
Got to be fresh lemon juice. Going to put the white of one egg. So just separate an egg. Or if you're worried about using eggs that you don't want to separate, you can purchase them at the store, the egg whites.
Yeah. And on the carton.
In the carton. So use two. We'll have the recipe up there, but I would suggest using 2 ounces.
Okay.
That's equivalent to one egg white.
And that goes into
shaker. That goes into the shaker. And then we're going to add our ice.
Got the top on.
Got the top on. And we're going to just shake it up. Really,
so
really
it's
hard.
Because
it's all in here. And we want to emulsify everything together, which means that we're going to get all of our ingredients. We're going to add our water from the ice. So we really want to give this a very good shake.
Okay, hit it.
There we go.
That's the way.
You have egg white in there and the acid from the lemons. So what we're really trying to do is I'm shaking like crazy just to get all this to blend together.
That's all you hear, right?
That's what you hear at the martini competition.
100 times a minute.
And you're dancing.
It's almost like maracas.
It's exactly.
So now what we want to do is we want to break this apart and I'm going to pour out the mixture of the cocktail into the other side of my mixing glass.
Oh, okay.
And,
not into the regular glass.
Not into the drinking glass. No, not yet.
And then
we're just going to dump the ice out.
Well, that's because you have two mixing glasses
stuck together.
So you could pour it into a container.
We're not
ready for glasses yet?
No. The idea is we want to, because of the egg white, we want to get this beautiful texture and a really nice pillow on top.
This is a bartender secret that you can learn at home. So if you've got an egg white in your drink, what Anthony's talking about is you don't go from the shaker directly into the glass because you don't have creaminess yet. One little trick makes creaminess in your drink.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And that is so we dump the used ice out of the shaker, and now we're putting the two shakers back together with the cocktail inside. We're just going to shake that for 30 seconds really hard.
No ice.
That's called dry shaking. And you could go it either way. So
We're
just shaking this up. You probably won't even be able to hear it because there's no ice in there. It's just kind of sloshing around. And you can actually feel it in your hand as it's coming together, which it just has. So now we're just going to strain that out
and that
into our cocktail
glass.
And
a creamy
glass.
Texture.
It makes a creamy texture. So now you see as we pour it out, the whole cocktail glass looks white and you can't even see it.
A martini glass is so festive.
And it's not separated
out. It's almost
out
like you've got a cappuccino foam on the top
of
this glass.
If you give it about 30 seconds, it'll start to
separate.
You'll see it start to separate. You'll see the lemon on the bottom and the white egg foam is going to be sitting on the top.
Mark, what did you say?
It's like you've got this cappuccino foam right at the top
of your little bit of a crema, yes.
It looks like a lemon meringue pie.
It really does.
In a glass.
It does have like these little peaks and valleys.
It's so delicious.
It's got texture. It's cool.
And to finish it off, I just wanted to just jazz it with a little bit of chocolate. So you could take your favorite chocolate bar, Faith, you know, one of your gluten-free chocolate bars, and take a fine plane or a zester and just zest a little chocolate on the top.
Well, we like to take care of people who are gluten-free because there are so many people now, millions. So, wow.
That is so delicious.
It's really
oh, my gosh. So you've got that. You've definitely got that lemon meringue feel, and then you've got the texture of that foamy top that it has a little sweetness to it. And then that little chocolate essence.
I have to say, it's so simple. At home, I don't make a cocktail with egg white in it because it just seems like some complicated thing that bartenders do. When I see Anthony telling us how to do this, I think, what is wrong with me that I would never do this?
I didn't know that trick. Yeah. What did you call it? The dry shake.
The dry shake. You shake it twice. Yeah. With ice, without ice.
So you get it made and then you...
Creamy.
And you could do it either way. You can dry shake all the ingredients together first and then add your ice.
Gotcha.
Or.
The recipe for Anthony DeSerio's lemon meringue cocktail, great for spring or anytime, is on our website, as all our recipes are, at foodschmooze.org. Fantastic, Anthony. Thank you so much. We want to talk to you about if you're going to grow a garden, what's going on with that. We have later in the show, as we promised, the author of Salmon, where she's changing it up with all these salmon recipes done, stovetop, in the oven, on the grill.
Gravlax.
So yeah. Marinating, absolutely wonderful. And Chris made one of them. There's a great salmon brunch recipe with eggs and smoked salmon. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. But do I have a chocolate report for you?
Uh-oh.
Come on.
Chocolate report.
Chocolate report?
Remember when we did our chocolate show and we were talking about...
Oh, yeah.
Remember
we
the bars we tried?
Oh, yeah.
And one of them was from... Thanks to those people online. One of them was from Vietnam.
Yeah.
And she said, this
they were
is
growing
my,
chocolate there.
It's my new favorite, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm going through the New York Times this past week, and I see this article in the food section about a particular chocolate bar being made with cacao in Vietnam. And people were going nuts, and the writer said, who loves chocolate bars, said, this is arguably the best chocolate bar I have ever had.
Wow. And the cocoa is being grown in Vietnam, an emerging country for
those
chocolate.
Those big words.
We are, I know.
This yeah. Is,
now, we leave it to you to decide if you think this is the best chocolate bar. But we have posted this online at foodschmooze.org, and let me tell you about it, because... There is an exclusive distributor in the United States for these bars. And the one that they were speaking so ravishingly about is their dark chocolate bar, the particular, I think it's 85%, so very, very dark. And I went online to check, and it is sold out. But the company is called Marou, M-A-R-O-U. That this is big in Europe because the Europeans found out about this, and now we have a U.S. distributor. So Marou Chocolate decided to make a deal with this online distributor, and you can go there. Yeah. They have many bars to choose from, but the one that has got people very jazzed at the moment is sold out, but I don't know why you can't go online and make orders for this chocolate bar. So our chocolate lovers, that would be me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we want you to know about this. So Marou Chocolate Bars, and we're at foodschmooze.org if you want to see how to go to that website and check this out. All right, let's concentrate on some of our spring food. Last time we did asparagus.
Yep. Ramps are coming, right?
Oh, that's right.
Spring onions.
Chris, can you tell us what ramps are?
They're wild leeks, and they grow all over the place around here.
Can you describe
In wet, swampy areas, riverbeds,
streams
going through the woods.
If you see skunk cabbage, it's likely ramps
coming
around.
Coming close, yeah. And they have such an amazing flavor, and they're one of the first things that pop up in the spring. So as soon as you start seeing green in your yard and stuff, that's when you know they're coming.
How do you cook them?
Oh my gosh, we do so many things. You can just grill them. They're amazing with a little salt and pepper. You can chop them up, saute them into any dish you would use onions or leeks in.
Salads.
Yeah. We make pesto with it. I mean, it has so many uses. And like I said, in the spring, they're so abundant. We have a patch in Canton from one of our customers, and she lets us come onto her yard. And in the back, she has a little wooded area. And this opens up. We've named it now the Valley of the Ramps. And they're literally are hundreds of thousands of ramps in this area. So you can't pick them. There's no way you could pick them.
I want to tell you that last spring when I was living in North Guilford, Connecticut, kind of out there, Chris had told me this story of these ramps and said where you can find them. And on the way from downtown Guilford to the
almost
house,
getting into an accident, there's Faith in the car.
Really, I'm driving at like 11 miles an hour.
And none of those roads are ever
straight.
Because
there are streams, and yeah. I'm thinking, I see skunk cabbage, there have to be ramps. I'll come back and I'll dig them up. You know, not one ramp did I see, or at least I couldn't recognize them. So you want to go online and see what they look like. Just look up ramps, see the picture of what they look like, and you'll spot them right away. We have some pictures online for you, foodschmooze.org. Okay, so apricots coming out.
Apricots. Oh, yeah. Rhubarb.
Just rhubarb.
Oh.
So we've got a rhubarb thing posted, a rhubarb recipe where you make a rhubarb salsa to put on things. This is rhubarb and sugar and a couple of other fruits. Fantastic to put on.
Awesome.
You're pulling up your rhubarb or the rhubarb you buy in the market. You're chopping the stem and putting a little sugar in and some other things, and then
cooking it down, and
it becomes sweet sour.
Like a compote almost.
One of my all-time favorites is strawberry rhubarb pie.
Oh, yeah.
Strawberries come a little bit
later.
My
mother makes a great strawberry rhubarb pie.
Oh, now we're talking about early summer. I can't wait.
And with some nice crisp gin.
Oh, yeah. And I can say to you that there's one thing that I never thought to do. If you search online, they're grilling apricots.
Oh, yeah.
It never occurred
to me.
With
ice cream. And then you put it on in a bowl and you put ice cream on top. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
Heaven.
What a good idea. I never thought about
this.
Great
way to eat your ice cream.
See, there's just...
Maybe a little booze on top. You got like a spirit or something.
Yeah, if you drink alcohol, sure.
Yeah, or that whiskey with that apricot note.
Oh, what?
The Bastille that we had.
Oh, yeah. See? Now we're talking about a dessert. Grilled apricots, vanilla gelato, and then that whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That would be a... Heavenly.
Bastille.
Ooh.
And that's on our website.
That's good stuff.
So the idea of the show is whether you get a particular thing that we mention, we will say brands if we think it's outstanding. On this show, we don't want to badmouth things. We just feature things that we really like. So it might sound like we like everything, but that's not it. Our job is to find things that we're proud of. We're curating for you. That's what this show is all about. But if you've got a whiskey that you like, or we're giving you ideas of what to do with these ingredients, all these fresh ingredients that you see in the market. On the other side of this break, do we have a white wine for spring that seems to go with everything? It's an unbelievable value. Between $10 and $12 a bottle from Sicilia. And it's all over our area. So more mouthwatering conversation and fun ahead on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. And I do hope you'll make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry among us. We're online now at foodschmooze.org. We'll be right back. Okay, hope that first bite of the food schmooze felt like a hot biscuit with butter coming your way. Feel free to tell your food-loving friends worldwide they can enjoy the show and our online site at foodschmooze.org. Here's your second bite.
Cornbread had a fight. beans, knock cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. Beans.
That's what they said. We have a free podcast for you, meaning you'll never miss a drop of pleasure. Just sign up for it once at our site, and we'll automatically send you our show every week so you can listen on your schedule. Also, discover our delicious curated food, wine, a cocktail recommendations. I love talking with you. My food buddies here love talking with you, so we hope you'll stop by our site often and say hi to us. Like us if you are in the mood, and we're always online at Food Schmooze. That's where all the recipes are, foodschmooze.org. I'm with my treasured food buddies, and I mean treasured. Chris Prosperi, chef and co-owner of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. By the way, Alex Province is away on a road trip. Mark Raymond, who is the Northeast director or czar of Frederick Wildman.
Czar. Oh, I like czar.
Wine distributors, and our super cheap cocktail contributor is Anthony DeSario. They're all here in the studio with me. We're going to go to a wine because it is such a bargain. It is so great with spring foods, and also this might be one of my go-to wines for drinking throughout the summer. It is a white. It is from Sicily. It is widely available in our area. We've got it listed on the website, foodschmooze.org. And Mark, what? This is $10, $12 a bottle?
Between $10 and $12 in most retail shops. It's so affordable. It's kind of unique. It's a blend of two indigenous grapes to Sicily, Cattarato and Grillo. And then there's a little bit of Chardonnay blended in. And what I loved
about it, gives it a little body and richness.
And richness. That's it's got a great acidity. Mouthfeel. Yeah. It's got good acidity. I love it. You get a little bit of apple. You get a little bit of pear. And then just sort of that little lemon zest. It's in there with that acidity.
It feels like it goes with so many foods.
Oh, my God. It's so incredible. When I think of warmer weather, I always lean towards Sicily and southern Italy or Spain. Mm. But when I started thinking about this, I said, this is going to go great with things like salmon, shellfish, grilled summer vegetables. Mm-hmm. I mean, just
that's a nice mouthfeel.
It with chicken too. It has a nice mouthfeel. Well, isn't that a weird thing to say something has a particular mouthfeel more than another wine? Can anybody explain why that would be?
It fills you, right? It fills your taste buds and coats your mouth.
It really has to do with the different types of grape have different characters, but whether they do it in stainless steel, whether they do it in oak, this is all done in stainless steel. So it's really about the richness of that grape varietal. So
bright and fresh.
So you get that brightness. There's good acidity to it, but yet it does have that roundness. It's got that richness.
Look, in Europe, people are drinking wines that are $10, $12 a bottle. They would never drink something expensive on a weeknight. We don't either on this show. I mean, maybe you restaurant guy over there.
No.
I mean, why would you do that?
My go-to wine is like $6, $7.
Exactly. Yeah. This wine at $10 to $12 a bottle is called Piano Maltese. It's a 2013 made, grown in Sicily, where they're not fooling around with things, where things are very real. That's the clean, real, natural, beautiful, beautiful.
All estate grown.
Rapitala, right?
Rapitala.
Rapitala. Rapitala. This is another crucifying of the Italian language for me. Greatest apologies.
No.
Rapitala. R-A-P-I-T-A-L-A. Anyway, you'll see it on the website. And we take a picture of the label for you so that you can call ahead to the wine store. We don't want to make you go on a trip and then have to go back again. But we tell you what to say there and show them the label or just read it to them over the phone.
And if they don't have it that day, they can get it in the very next day.
Yeah, we're trying to make it easy for you. I love this. This is weeknight meals. This is weekend. This is party wine. Yep.
You know what we call this? The patio pounder.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
I call it walking around wine, where you're just sitting with friends, walking around the patio.
I like it because, too, it can be every day, but I would offer this on a special occasion, too, because it's got it's got body.
It goes with so many things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's, the more I taste it, the more I'm thinking, like, you know, fresh summer salads with maybe a little bit of fruit in there or get the acidity from, like, some bright, fresh garden tomatoes and, you know, anything out of your garden.
Right now, we've got all kinds of things growing. We got chives and, you know, I had a list of 25 things that are growing right now. You'll see them in the markets coming in. The start of the farmer's market, you're going to see them there for these spring foods. This is so good with them. This wine goes with so many things. Anyway, on the website, foodschmooze.org. We've decided among ourselves we were going to do a whole big thing on gardens, but we want to be able to save enough time to talk about these great salmon recipes coming up in our next segment. We're going to save the whole big garden hacks and ideas for you for in the next couple of weeks. But here's one idea, just to give you a taste for this. This woman was having a hard time getting her garden growing. She was in Alaska. She didn't have a lot of sunlight, and she had a lot of pests, and not to mention bears and ravens. And so she said, where can I – there's no sunlight. You know what she did? She was at a tag sale, and she bought people's used garden gutters.
Oh, wow.
Hung them on the side wall of her garage where the sun is.
Just regular gutters.
What a great idea.
Regular gutters.
No kidding.
Filled them with soil with a little bit of drainage on the bottom.
Of course. And they have a hole at the end to
hole at the end.
Oh, and my dad's going to be hanging gutters this Sunday.
That's a great,
I love that idea.
Oh, my God.
That's
incredible.
Great
that's
idea.
What we call a garden hack. Yep, this was online.
That's a killer one.
This is Green Upgrader. I want to give them credit. So
that's a good one.
Actually, here's the final thing. You know how you go away for a week, 2 weeks, or you
always
don't want to water all the time, even when you're home and stuff? When you dig a square for a garden bed, take a plastic milk jug or water jug. You know those with the screw-on cap,
like
with the handle built right in. The gallon plastic container. You punch some holes in the bottom, dig a hole in your garden bed, and you plant them in several places. Make sure that when you plant the plastic jug in the ground, that the opening, the hole for it, is at surface level. It's got holes in it, remember.
At
and
the
then
bottom,
and when you've planted all your plants all around it,
fill the jug
it's
awesome.
With water.
So you do
I have
like
a neighbor down the street.
Once a week or
and it drip. And the best part is
drip irrigation.
Into the roots of the plant.
Crazy.
When you're standing with a hose, it takes forever for it to get down to the roots.
Oh yeah.
It's just fantastic. I saw this online. It's called a garden hack.
Yeah.
So we've got so many more like that. We're going to talk to you about straw bale gardening where you don't need any soil at all. You do it in the straw bale that you get at the hardware store. We're going to be doing all that in the shows coming up week after week.
Faith, is anybody else seeing what I'm seeing out in front of the grocery stores with the Girl Scout cookies?
It's that time of year again.
Oh, my goodness.
They're everywhere.
We already have them delivered.
And I'm not complaining because I absolutely love them.
Yeah, but then you have to eat them. All of them. You can't, not just – what do? You buy them and let them sit
on
the counter?
Everybody has them. They're in everybody's car. They're I'm at work and, a server will come up and she's got, a sleeve of Thin Mints on her.
It's got to go classic, right?
It's a great travel snack when you're going from state to state.
There's a thing going on with Girl Scout cookies right now. There's a contest I want to tell you about, in fact.
Excellent.
Anthony, what was your challenge at the bar?
When I first started years ago, I had this reputation of being called the Candy Man. So when vanilla vodka first came out, I started making cocktails that tasted like candy. And one customer came in, it was going back 20 years, and they said, can you make me a drink that tastes like Thin Mint? Like, sure, it's a simple variation of a grasshopper with vanilla vodka. And then they came in a week later and brought a box of every Girl Scout cookie and threw the challenge on the bar. And they said, okay, you think you're so good, And I was still green behind the gills, I didn't know half of what I know now. And they're just like, can you make a drink that tastes like every single one of these? And I was like, all right, challenge accepted. And I went through and, the Samoa was the best one of all.
The
Samoa was just...
I just did a nice creamy vanilla vodka martini.
Just rimmed the glass with chocolate and toasted coconut just brought in a little bit of caramel.
Dessert.
So I brought all those together.
Why isn't a bar doing this? Where
this time of year would be perfect, right?
And giving away free
Girl Scout cookies
then you're supporting Girl Scouts.
Or you put it on the rim as a garnish.
I was going to say, some of them make a great, especially the Samoa, because that sticks to anything.
Oh, yeah.
Peanut butter was hard, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. That was
Let's
a tough
see.
One.
See, peanut butter, what spirit would go with peanut? Would it be bourbon?
You could do rum. You could do bourbon.
Rum. Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes when you just can't think of anything, your vodka is your go-to because it has no flavor to
so
it,
neutral.
And it'll really bring that peanut butter out.
Mm.
So now you have so many flavors of vodka out there, like you just talk, like chocolate.
Yeah, why peanut butter vodka?
If you can find it, it's out there.
Okay. So we absolutely love the Scouts. When the Girl Scouts start doing their cookies, we'd like to mention it to you. And I was just talking to the Connecticut Girl Scout CEO, Mary Barnaby, who said to me that when the cookies are out, they have a big contest. And I think this is exciting, especially for people like you, Chris, but also for home cooks, where they're asking you to do a cookie hack. In other words, you know how we did the grilled cheese birthday cake?
Yeah.
Come up, use Girl Scout cookies as the base for a dessert. And then there are judges who say, okay,
that's
we're going to. And then people
awesome
do this. And so you can go online and find out about this. I'm excited. I think it is the most fun.
I saw a Samoa waffle.
That
can you imagine
is
a Samoa
awesome.
Waffle? And then you put
awesome.
Ice cream on top.
How does it go? How does it work?
You would chop up the Samoas, put them in with your dry ingredients, and then you would make waffles just like it, you
your
would.
Waffle mix.
Yeah,
with
waffle
the chunks
mix.
Of
oh, I am
oh,
definitely
yeah,
making those this weekend.
Thin mints and the Samoas go right in the freezer.
Yeah.
But if you take those right out of the freezer, it'd be so much easier to break up and put into those waffles.
Yeah, you could just smash,
them.
Yeah. Yeah, put them on the counter.
Oh, yeah.
I think you should enter.
Think about all the possibilities. There's so many flavors.
Well, from April 26th to May 1st, all those people who did the Girl Scout cookie hack recipes that we're talking about, they get to vote and the winners are decided. So if you want to enter, go to Girl Scouts of America website. You can go also to the Girl Scouts of Connecticut website. I'm going to tell you about their address in just a second for a reason. They invited me and I said, absolutely, I volunteered to be the guest for Girl Scouts of Connecticut big fundraising dinner, which is on April 13th at the New Haven Lawn Club.
Great venue.
And it's 5:30 to 8. Diane Smith is going to do an interview with me.
She's
and
awesome.
We're both getting together just to support the Girl Scouts because we just adore them.
That's going to be
awesome. We love that the Girl Scouts themselves are from every walk of life. We just think
it's amazing
leadership
artist.
Skills, you know, just fantastic. Same for the Boy Scouts, great leadership skills. So it's April 13th. I hope we'll see you there at the New Haven Lawn Club. And if you want to find tickets, you can go to GSOF, Girl Scouts of Connecticut, GSOFCT.org. You can go to our website if you can't remember that. It is foodschmooze.org. I know you can remember that. I'd love to see you there. My friends, salmon recipes coming your way now. We love the local. Please support your local food growers and food makers for on-demand podcast delivery of the Food Schmooze Party every week and to find our food, wine, cocktail, restaurant recommendations, our streaming videos, recipes we feature. We are always online talking with you. Foodschmooze.org, and we'll be right back. We have one more mouthwatering bite of the Food Schmooze coming up. Here's something great to know about. Sign up for the app called NPR One. Just download it from the iPhone App Store or your Android device. And once you do, you can set WNPR as your local station. Couldn't be easier. Download the free app NPR One and start listening. Let's party on. More Food Schmooze. This is the Food Schmooze Party offering the richness of life coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including Westchester County, the East End of Long Island, and of course the Hamptons. The senior producer is Robin Doyen Aiken. And to hear the show on WNPR, it airs Thursdays at 3, Saturdays at noon. Podcasts and our curated recommendations are always online at foodschmooze.org. Schmooze is spelled like school, S-C-H. Talk with us on Facebook, too. Search Faith Middleton. Ah, after cruising through Diane Morgan's great-sounding recipes, we are in the mood for salmon, including crispy skin, pan-seared salmon, slow-cooked salmon, which we just tried, and for brunch, poached eggs with smoked salmon. In this cookbook, you'll find guidance on choosing a regional variety of salmon and cooking methods for making it, from poaching, grilling, and frying to oven roasting and marinating. We can get into a space where we think we've had too much salmon, 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 salmon. It was like what happened to Chardonnay in the beginning, right? So I'm thinking that what's convinced me about this cookbook is that if you change it up, like anything else, yeah. If you change it up.
Like we did today.
Yeah.
With this recipe, right?
Suddenly you think, this is the most delicious fish.
I had this thing last night, farm raised. I was like, I don't want salmon. And then when we had it today, I was like, oh my gosh, why don't I eat more salmon?
Last night
I was like, salmon again.
And that was that slow cooked salmon that we're going to be talking about. I can't wait to do it. Diane Morgan is author of the book called simply Salmon, Everything You Need to Know Plus 45 Recipes. Diane, welcome to the Food Schmooze Party.
Sounds like a party to me.
Yeah. And thank you. I know you are on the West Coast, and thank you for doing this because we have that time difference. So I wanted to turn right away to a particular salmon. Let's do the slow-cooked one. I'd like Chris to talk about how he made this, and then we want to talk to you about salmon in general. So, Chris...
Yeah.
This was velvety soft. Touch it with a fork and it falls apart.
But still pink, right? The color all the way through.
And exactly.
So go ahead. How did you do it?
It's a great way to cook salmon, and it's slow cooked.
Should I say the ingredients?
Yeah, go ahead. You say the ingredients.
The salmon fillets, mm-hmm. a little olive oil and salt and pepper, mm-hmm. a touch, just a pinch of cayenne pepper, a little dry white wine, whatever you have around. Carrots, because this was with spring vegetables, and a leek and asparagus, some butter, just a little bit of butter, and, well, a medium amount of butter.
A little for me.
So green peas, they can be frozen or fresh. Yeah. This is spring. It could be fresh. And a little fresh mint. Yeah. And that
flavors
constellation, it was so good. Okay, go.
Yeah, but the key to this is really the salmon. The salmon is the star, which you wouldn't think because the vegetables are like the spring vegetables. But the way she cooks the salmon, so it's 250 degrees. That's the key, which we would never do. I mean, I thought about it when I was putting it in the oven this morning. I was like, you know what? When was the last time I set my oven to 250 to cook fish? But it really does make a difference. Yeah. Okay, so you take salmon.
Plus, can I say that when I was asking you, let's do this one. Yeah. I thought 250, and I thought, oh, the poor man, he's going to be standing around the oven for 4 hours. Okay,
oh,
go ahead.
15, okay.
I know.
All right, so you take the salmon, and she does like a lot of us in the restaurants do, where you take the fish out before you're going to cook it, bring it up to room temperature. So about 15, 20 minutes before you're going to use it. And then set your oven for 250 degrees. You arrange your salmon on a little cookie sheet or sheet pan, and you can either put parchment paper down or foil just to cover, you know, the bottom of the pan. And then you just brush a little olive oil, the salt, pepper, and a pinch of cayenne on each piece of fish. And you put it in this preheated oven at 250 degrees. It takes about 12 to 15 minutes. And you're looking for an internal temperature of about 115 to 120. So it's just soft and pink all the way through.
Yeah,
and it is
so good.
Heaven.
Oh.
Wasn't it?
So delicate.
Yeah.
Yet it had the firmness. Sometimes when you have salmon that isn't fully cooked, you get a little bit of that sort of rawness in the middle. This was not that at all. This was beautifully textured all the way through.
I think slow cooking does that. I mean, that's the cool thing. And we're finding that with a lot of different fish, that if you cook them slow like this, you get great results. You want to do a little more salt and pepper on your vegetables. You know, the way she explains to cook the vegetables are great. You just take water and wine, you put your vegetables in, you simmer it. the wine reduces. You throw in your other vegetables. You whip in some butter and some salt, and that's sort of the sauce that goes with the salmon.
So delicious.
And it's just, that butter kind of brings it all together. It's
really
a winning recipe.
And this recipe is on our website with a couple of others, plus information about Diane's wonderful book. Diane, I wanted to ask you, there is a little bit of a crustiness that developed on the outside of the salmon that was a little salt-centric. And I loved it because it gave it a little bit of zing. Can you talk to me about that?
Well, I think there's two things going on. You know, most people, they take a piece of meat or poultry or fish out of the refrigerator and they immediately are cooking it. But when you let it come up to room temperature just enough that you've taken the chill off, but you're not in a danger zone of letting bacteria grow, it really helps the cooking process. And so you aren't putting this in the oven stone cold. And so that's one aspect. The fish on the outside is cooking immediately. It's not getting that chill off in that initial time. And so when you have that little pinch of salt against it, and I really recommend using a sea salt as opposed to an iodized commercial salt, you really allow those flavors to just hit immediately with the heat. That's where you're getting. I mean, it's not a hard crust. It's not as if you're pan searing, but you do. You get a little bit of a texture on the outside.
Yeah.
Best salmon dish I've had in a long time.
It was fantastic.
Simple. It was a nice, healthy, fresh change to salmon, too.
I don't know about you, but there is something about other foods where if you are doing, say, lardone, you could do prosciutto where you dice it up and you put it in a pan, a chorizo, or as Alex would say, chorizo. if you do that, you get that crunch, that crispiness.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I will have a piece of fish that has a crispy skin on it because of the way it's been cooked, and I mistakenly take a piece of that crispy skin and I think, oh, and then suddenly I'm wolfing down the entire skin and I think, this can't be good for me. Well, it turns out there's a recipe in Diane's book called Salmon Skin, the Bacon of the Sea.
Nice.
I absolutely get this. So this is how to do a bed of that crispy skin and put it over greens. Please tell us about this.
Well, oftentimes in recipes, I'm actually telling you to take the skin off. Like if you're going to cedar plank salmon or you're going to stir fry it, the skin's irrelevant, but the skin can be repurposed and there's no waste because you get this texturally, this crusty shards that when you marinate it and then you broil it, it just changes completely. And people are so averse to, like, they think, oh, my God, you're eating fish skin. And that's actually, you know, when you scrape away the flesh, I use the dull side of a knife, the back of the knife, and I scrape away the flesh that's clinging to the skin, and you've taken the scales off. You know, it's really important you take the scales off.
Right.
And you marinate it and you pat it dry and then you put it under the broiler. And you have to watch it closely because it does go from crisp to burnt.
We've burned thousands of dollars of things.
So. Yeah. So have I. And but then you can crackle it over. I mean, you could make a salmon Caesar salad and crackle it over the top. And you could even crackle some over the slow roasted salmon that you just had as a really just
that's
little
a great
punch
idea. Textural piece.
Yeah.
I love it over runny eggs.
Oh.
Yeah. So you've got a recipe in the book for just that. I can see that you've got the greens and then poached eggs, runny eggs, and then you've scattered the crispy salmon skin over the top of that. And I thought, what a brunch idea this is, although we've got another brunch thing coming. But the water that you are marinating this is soy sauce, water, touch of brown sugar, and lemon juice. Do you have to do that? If we just put the salmon skin straight into the oven under the broiler, would it do the same thing?
Well, you need a way to caramelize it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the soy is there to give you some added flavor. The lemon juice is there to brighten those flavors. The brown sugar that you've dissolved is there to help caramelize it. So you could probably even use some honey dissolved in some warm water and get a similar result. But you need something that's going to help caramelize it.
Yeah, I love your combination. When you broil something that has soy sauce in it, it's a very unique flavor.
Yeah. It's a little umami.
Yeah. Umami. Yeah, you get that savory. Yeah.
And
yeah.
By the way, for people who are gluten-free, just millions of people now, there's gluten-free soy sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're basically all set. We just wanted to say we absolutely love that. Okay, let's go over to something that seems so complicated. When you hear about gravlax, the marinating of pieces of salmon sliced thin, and Chris is shaking
I'm shaking my head. No, it's so easy. I'm surprised more people don't do it.
Well, it's a Scandinavian thing, and I remember reading Julia Child's biography written by somebody else, and she had to be in Scandinavia for quite a long period of time and was nervous about that because there's not a lot. It's like going to Canada. There's not a lot of fresh-grown stuff, and she fell in love with what people were doing. So in Scandinavia, the food is very clean and beautiful. And as a result, these flavors come through because of the style of cooking, because of the way the ingredients get to be what they are. So gravlax, very, very Scandinavian idea. This recipe calls for a little bit of sugar and salt and the salmon fillet, of course, and a little gin or akavit.
Yeah.
And some fresh chives, or you could use green onions. And there's usually bread, like a pumpernickel on the side. But tell us, Diane, about your recipe for making gravlax. And Chris, chime in on this about easiness.
The technique is traditional. I mix it up a little by using gin. You can use aquavit. Some people use vodka. But just picture that you're taking a side of salmon or even a big fillet, and you're rubbing it on both sides with a mixture of salt and sugar, and you're putting it on a piece of plastic wrap. I lay dill over the top, over the flesh side of it, and I pour the gin or the aquavit over that, and I wrap it up, and you weight it down. So I typically put it in, depending on the size of the fillet or the chunk of it I have. I might put it in a 9x13 glass baking dish, and you weight it down, and you turn it every couple of days. And you weight it down continuously in the refrigerator.
Yeah, takes about, three days, four days?
And then you take it off, you rinse off the...
Yeah, and slice it thin. I tell people...
And slice it thin and you're done.
Yeah,
I tell people
all the time, it is the easiest way to turn $10 into $50.
Yes.
Meaning?
That's what gravlax costs. If you go to your supermarket or anywhere and you get gravlax, it's really expensive. And you
really
can take
expensive.
A $10 piece of salmon that you get at a fish market or even your grocery store. Can be a small 1 pound, 2 pound piece and do just like you said. And you get this most amazing texture in the fish.
I was going to say, why are we doing it? Why are we adding sugar to and salt to salmon?
I was curious about the sugar
to
itself.
To salmon at all. Why are we doing it?
It's mostly preserving, right? That's the main reason it started in Scandinavia. They wanted a way to preserve their fish, you know, keep it longer. And in doing so, they ended up with this amazing result. And, I mean, I grew up in Queens.
Delicious.
And we had a bagel with a schmear and lox every morning for breakfast.
I love it.
But not gravlax.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's so similar. Yeah. It's different because the other is cold smoke, and this is cured with a different process. But the texture is, it's not quite the same, but it's very similar.
Yeah,
and I would do
is.
The same thing. Yeah. The schmear and the, absolutely.
Okay. So for people who are very concerned about plastic wrap, is there a concern you've got alcohol and fish, which is pressed with plastic wrap, having, Chris, you're shaking your head no, not a concern.
Heat is really the, you know, when we're dealing with plastic wrap and why people are afraid of it and what it does and stuff, that's always when it's heat is added. But when you're in the refrigerator, and again, this goes right in the refrigerator, it stays in the refrigerator, you don't have that problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what the purpose of the weight?
To press it, because basically, so this is the other thing about gravlax. It is cooked, right? Technically, it's just not cooked with heat. It's
like
cooked
ceviche.
With salt.
Ceviche.
Yeah.
Ceviche.
So yes. Cooking is the removal of moisture, and this is what you do by salting and sugaring it. You actually remove the moisture, and the pressing of it helps that process.
This is our guest is Diane Morgan, and she is author of the book called Simply Salmon: Everything You Need to Know Plus 45 Recipes. In the beginning of the book, she talks a lot about the various kinds of salmon. It can be confusing. It is to me. I love salmon, but when I get into the market, I'm thinking, just as I do with a side of beef, wait a minute, what is this part from, and why is this one round, and this is what, this is Alaskan, but this is Scottish, and what, you know, and I'm trying to understand,
the
farm
map.
Raised, is it always good wild, or always bad, if it's from another country, is that better? I mean, it's just become so crazy. So the whole first chunk of the book is explaining all that
That's
to great. Us. I wanted to tell you about a couple of other recipes from this book that we have on the website, foodschmooze.org. Crispy skin pan-seared salmon with a summertime succotash. I promise you it's on the way. You could really serve it with absolutely anything. Poached eggs and smoked salmon on tapenade mayonnaise smeared bread. With that egg just slightly with a little runniness. Firm, but a little touch of egg dripping over that. That is a good brunch thing. Just to give you a feel for the book, I wanted to be sure to say, not only the things we've talked about, but there is a crisp rice-coated salmon with a citrus sriracha sauce, which I thought was a great idea. There's a pan-roasted salmon with potatoes and kale. And again, for texture, panko-crusted salmon cakes with jicama orange slaw. Doesn't all this sound good?
That's amazing.
In other words, if you change it up, you have got a great thing going on with salmon, and it's Diane Morgan and her book, Salmon, that's convinced us of that. Diane, thank you so much for being on the Food Schmooze and doing what you do.
Love it. Thank you for making my recipes come alive.
Okay, I hope you'll come back and visit us soon.
Thank you.
Okay. We're on WNPR Thursdays at 3, Saturdays at noon, weekdays. Listen for my 60-second food schmoozes and join the conversation with us. We're always up for a good time online at foodschmooze.org. In New Haven with the gang, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to my
This is the place to enjoy the richness of life. Sharing our local and national discoveries with you makes me want to get up in the morning. The gang and I hope you'll come back soon and often.